God's word is a fire in my bones,
and I cannot keep it in.
We are not building an institution or a program.
We are building the kingdom of God.
This is Do Not Keep Silent.
Welcome in to Do Not Keep Silent. My name is Jason Nazurek, your host for the program. My guest tonight, Katie Erickson. We're going to dig into 1 Corinthians 2 tonight, right?
Yes, we are.
Absolutely. Katie, author, blogger, speaker for the ministry, and this is Do Not Keep Silent. Yeah, don't be a pushover again. Find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Katie released something in, wasn't it 20? Oh my goodness. What was the last time?
What are you talking about?
Well, when you released The Teacher. Was that?
That was November of 2022.
Okay. I'm saying that because that's not recent, but it's the most recent thing.
It's the most recent book I've published.
Yes. And so tell us a little bit about The Teacher since I prepared you for that. No problem.
Completely did not prepare me for that.
I'm saying that, friends, because Katie's released, I think, 6 books, you said.
Yeah, 6.
And this one is on the book of Ecclesiastes. It's a study guide through the book of Ecclesiastes.
Yes.
And I just wanted to open up the program with that because that's what came to my mind. So there we go.
Fantastic. So you may be wondering, who is the teacher and what wisdom can we learn from the teacher? And is everything under the sun truly meaningless? Well, the teacher is the author of the book of Ecclesiastes, which may be known for being depressing and meaningless. But if you take a journey through this book, find out for yourself what it really contains. And you may be encouraged to find meaning in your own life through the wisdom of the teacher.
Absolutely. Again, go find that at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Tonight, Katie is going to take some time, dig into 1 Corinthians. I was going to say 2nd again. I don't know.
Because it's 1 Corinthians 2. That's what's throwing you off.
Yeah, so don't ever do that again. I'm just kidding.
Okay, well, once I get done with chapter 2, I won't.
Then
I'll move on to 1 Corinthians 3. And then if you say 3 Corinthians, I'm going to smack you.
Yeah, because there isn't one, as far as I know. Maybe there is one,
well,
but
that's
hidden.
That's actually the thing. Is there's actually a letter that Paul is believed to have written to the Corinthians before 1 Corinthians, but we don't have it.
So it's the prequel.
Right. So that's like 0 Corinthians or something before. I don't know.
You're
so
funny.
So there is actually another letter.
5.
You know, like, but yeah, exactly. So, but yeah, so then there is no 3 Corinthians.
That's all right. Well, friends, with that all being said, let's get into 1 Corinthians right now. 1 Corinthians 2, and which verses are we going to get into?
We are starting in verse 6.
Verse 6 tonight, we'll take a look at again. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com.
So if you have a Bible or a Bible app handy, I would encourage you to pull that out. So we are going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 through 10, which says, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God." So that was 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 10. But it's always important to look at passages in context. So in the previous verses...
Hold on.
Oh, boy.
Looking at verses in context?
Yeah, because a lot of times like this, it doesn't necessarily make sense without the setup before it.
Well, I'm bringing that up because it seems a lot of people today really struggle with that.
Well, that is true.
Because they say, well, it says this, but it really doesn't mean this. I'm thinking of where the Bible, yes, the Bible. The Bible says there is no God. Did you know that, friends? It actually says that. Go check out Psalm, I believe it's 14:1, and it says this: "The fool in his heart says there is no God." So I bring this up because the Bible does say there is no God, but you need to read it in context.
Yes.
That's super important.
Yes.
It seems many people today just, Oh, I don't even like saying this word because I'm not trying to be offensive, friends. They're illiterate when it comes to understanding reading the Word of God in context. That's important, right?
Yeah, because we like to just, you know, pick a passage here and there because it sounds good or whatever. Yeah. But you need to look at where that passage fits in the scheme of that particular book, the books around it, the Bible as a whole, all of that. I mean, there's so much more to it than just, you know, picking out a verse here and there.
Right. So with that, I'm sorry. I just had to get that off the
chest. That's okay.
This is
We can talk about that more if you want. But
I decided not to be silent.
Okay.
So that's, I wasn't.
Is the name of the show.
So let's continue on. So reading in context is important.
Yes.
Knowing what's going on around the text, that's important.
Yes. I mean, ideally, you know, to look at any passage of this letter, we would actually read the entire letter. That would be the ideal way to do it, because then you'd have the entire context of the whole letter rather than just jumping in and reading five verses.
Yes.
But that would take like our whole show just to read the letter, and we'd have no time to talk about it.
Probably more than our show.
Probably.
Since it's going to take you 2 years to write through.
Well, yeah. But that's only writing on a few verses a week. So,
yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. But yeah,
well,
so.
Pick it up. You can't tell we're having fun in the studio tonight.
Always. Yeah, mm-hmm. Haven't even started talking about the passage. We read the passage, perfect? So we got that far. But
hey, Katie,
again.
Squirrel. I'm just kidding.
So we have to interpret passages in context.
Yes.
So if we look at what's right before this passage, because again, remember, this was a letter. Paul didn't he didn't write this with like chapter and verse numbers in
right,
it.
Right.
Because like that's not how you write somebody a letter. But for our ease of use, we put in chapters and verse numbers so we can more easily refer to certain pieces of it without saying, oh, yeah, that part where he talks about this and that, you know, it just helps give us divisions and stuff. But those weren't there when it was originally written. So right before the section that we just read a little bit ago, Paul wrote about the message that he brought to the church in Corinth, the message of Jesus Christ and him crucified. And he wrote about how he did not preach with his own wisdom, but by demonstrating the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. So now Paul moves on from that and shares that the gospel message that he is sharing is one of wisdom for mature people. Now, don't think that he's talking about mature people like it's just for old folks there or something like that. The word mature there is from the Greek word teleos. Jason, do you remember the word teleos?
Teleos.
Yeah. I actually wrote an entire blog post on that, on just that word. Yes. So it's one of my favorite Greek words, actually. And it's one we don't have a good English equivalent for. But it generally means this idea of perfect, mature, finished, complete, kind of all of that rolled up into one. So this gospel message is one of wisdom for teleos people, for those people who are, you know, perfect and mature and complete and all of that. So in this case, it refers to those who are more spiritually mature. Now, often this phrase can mean those who have been living out their faith for a while rather than new believers, but that's actually not likely the context here. Because the Corinthian church, at the time when Paul was writing this, it was still a fairly new congregation, as honestly was the Christian faith. Only been around for, you know, a couple decades at this point. So really, not many had been living out their faith for very long, because honestly, it hadn't existed for very long. So here, this word mature, this teleos, refers to those who have the Christian faith, as opposed to those who do not yet believe. So at this point, that's what we're looking at as mature, just given the context of this letter and when it was written. It was likely written 20-ish years after Jesus' death and resurrection, so hadn't really been around for very long. So this wisdom that can be understood by believers does not come from this world. It does not come from the rulers of this age, as they are not the true authority figures in God's kingdom. Well, we can learn from leaders if they too are believers in Jesus Christ. Worldly wisdom is not something we should focus on or pursue. Instead, as Paul writes in verse 7, we declare God's wisdom. But then Paul says that God's wisdom is a mystery. So then you may be wondering, how can we declare God's wisdom when it is a mystery to us? Well, as mere humans, we are unable to fully grasp the mind of God. In fact, we can't even understand a small fraction of the mind of God. But we know that God has had a plan for mankind before time even began. even before humans sinned, way back in Genesis 3, God already knew his plan for our redemption. While some parts of that plan were revealed in the Old Testament, it's explained much more clearly in the New Testament. We can understand the gospel message of Jesus Christ, and we declare that truth to others, but God's wisdom is still a mystery to us. So then Paul had mentioned the rulers of this age a bit, and he elaborates on that in verse 8. He declares that none of the rulers of this age understood God's plan of redemption. Now, he's, of course, referring to the leaders of the Jewish church and, you know, those were who were in control back then in the first century. If they had understood and known that Jesus was the Messiah, surely they would not have killed him. So he's referring to the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, all of that, along with the Roman rulers, since all were involved in Jesus' crucifixion. And they likely would not have killed him had they realized and truly believed that he was the Messiah.
You know, let's take a quick pause here. And that's because in Acts 9, where Paul is going to Damascus, as Saul, he's going there and has an encounter with the risen Christ. Some of you are going, what are you talking about? Well, Paul is going to Damascus quite literally to kill and murder more Christians. And on the way there, Jesus, the risen Jesus, the one who's in heaven, let's say they have an encounter. And Paul, I mean, Kitty, is it, it's true, Paul was blinded?
Yes, yeah, physically blinded.
So blind, he heard Jesus. And correct me if I'm wrong, but the guys that were with him, didn't they hear Jesus' voice too?
Well, the men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They
yes.
heard the sound, but did not see anyone. So they heard something, but they didn't see what Paul saw.
Right, but they heard it. So, yeah, I mean, something definitely happened to Paul, Saul, who changed his name, was changed to Paul, on the way to Damascus. Something happened. I bring this up because, again, he was one of them that would have been there to kill Jesus, probably.
Yeah, just a few verses before that,
yeah, yeah.
It says in Acts 9, verse 1, meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples.
Yes.
So, yeah, not exactly a good setup for meeting Jesus.
No, not at all. And again, I just bring that up because he's now saying, if they would have known, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, all the teachers, they would have known that he was the Messiah, they would have backed him. They would have said, stop this from happening. Paul, again, we talked about this before, Pharisee of Pharisees, he was waiting for the Messiah too, and they were waiting for someone completely different.
Yeah, they did not put it together that all of these prophecies that were in the Old Testament and all that, that Jesus fulfilled them.
Yes.
They completely missed it all.
Right. And so with that, he's now realized, oh, Jesus is the Messiah. So that's why he's backing that now and supporting that. I just bring that up because it's just amazing to me, number one. And number two, he's literally telling people, hey, even the guys that killed him would have stopped it from happening had they known.
Yeah, because he knew how much that they were waiting on the Messiah, and they just didn't think it was Jesus. And they're like, well, this guy's getting in our way. We better kill him. So they did.
Right. Absolutely. Again, friends, this is Do Not Keep Silent. We'll dig into this more later on when we come back here again. This is Do Not Keep Silent. Find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com.
This is the Worldview Warriors Fastcast,
your daily spiritual energy drink,
with your host,
Jason Dzurek.
In the mid-1990s, I had made a very pointed decision in my life that I was going to search for and seek out truth and go to wherever absolute truth would go, wherever it was going to lead me. You see, earlier as a young man, I had chosen my own path and decided not to follow Jesus Christ at all. What I did not realize at the time when I had made this decision was I actually had decided to get to know Jesus Christ more intimately than ever before in my lifetime. You see, in John 14:6, Jesus made the claim that he was the way,
way, the truth, and the life. So, since I had already made the decision to go wherever truth was going to lead me, I had already, in essence, made the decision to search for and seek out Jesus Christ. To dig more into this, you'll find my blog post titled, The Search for Truth.
Find us online
at worldviewwarriors.org.
Yeah, go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. And with that, friends, I encourage you, go find the truth, not someone's opinion. Friends, the truth is the truth. God's truth. It's different than an opinion. An opinion is a person's idea, a human idea. The truth, though, that comes from Almighty God, he is the authority. That's what makes them so different. And by the way, I know there's some of you out there tuning into this right now. Maybe you're not a follower of Jesus. And the words I'm speaking that are coming out of my mouth right now are like fingernails on a chalkboard. Because, well, you struggle having God as the authority, not just in your life, but on this planet, in this creation. Friends, I encourage you, get to know this Jesus. Find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Katie, let's continue on. Looking through the book of Corinthians, just a bit here, 1 Corinthians, and what chapter, or what verse are we in?
We are in 1 Corinthians 2. We are looking at verses 6 through 10, and we've talked about verses 6, 7, and 8 a bit, so we are now going to jump into verse 9, 1 Corinthians 2.
All right, let's go for it.
So in that verse, Paul refers to Isaiah 64, verse 4. Now, he uses the phrase, as it is written, to introduce it. And when that phrase is used like it is here, that typically does not mean it's a direct quote, but that the ideas referred to there are from the Old Testament scriptures. Like, it's kind of like if I'm like, well, I know this verse says something like this, but I don't get the words exactly right. That's kind of what Paul's doing here. So it's not necessarily, you know, a formal citation or a direct quote. And in this specific reference, the ideas of the first few lines are from Isaiah 64:4, but the last line is actually, it's likely Paul summarizing some thoughts from the Old Testament as a whole. So in this verse, Paul emphasizes that we cannot see, hear, or comprehend the things that God has prepared for us. So Paul's been preaching on the hidden wisdom of the Old Testament, showing how all the promises and prophecies that God set up had been fulfilled in Jesus. It is not through any human wisdom that we can understand the message of salvation. That just comes from God. So verse 10 then further explains that this wisdom comes only through the power of the Holy Spirit working in our lives. God's wisdom is only revealed through God himself, through the person of the Holy Spirit.
I want to stop you right there.
Sure.
Here's why. Friends, you cannot do it on your own. Be open to the Holy Spirit's leading. Now, here's the thing. The Holy Spirit's going to help you to be open to the Holy Spirit's leading. And so, just be available. Be like, oh, how do I put this to help us understand it? When you have your morning coffee and you're, you know, making your coffee, you pour it into the cup, you bring the cup to your mouth and you drink it. Be like the cup. Literally. Just let the Holy Spirit guide and direct you that much. Let the Holy Spirit guide and direct you that much to the truth. And just do what the Holy Spirit wants you to do. Then you will, well, you'll find your true self, who God's made you to be in his image. It is seriously amazing when you say, okay, I'm going to surrender completely to God. I just encourage you to do that, friends. And again, this is, do not keep silent. Sorry about interrupting, but continue.
It's all right. No problem. So while Paul was referring to how he and the other apostles had God's spiritual wisdom revealed to them, we too have access to God's divine revelation. We have the Bible for us to read, and we have faith in Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit to help us interpret what the Bible says and what God is telling us through it.
So I should just be quiet and let you just tell them what needs to be said.
Pretty much.
Friends, again, I just encourage you, just like Katie said, listen to the Holy Spirit and then just do what the Holy Spirit says. How do you know what the Holy Spirit is saying? How do you know you're not just hearing yourself? You got to be in the Word of God to know his words, you know, okay, this is true. This is right. I'm not just crazy. I'm not just making this up in my head. Or listening to someone else's wisdom. I should say, that's really not wisdom because it comes from men. Foolishness.
Well, you can still listen to other people's wisdom, but sure. Always check it against the Word of God.
Yes.
I mean, I'm not going to tell you, don't listen to our radio program here, or, you know, because we're,
true.
You know, human wisdom. But always check us against the Word of God.
But that's the thing that we try to do here. It's not about what we desire. We're trying, as Katie just said, we're trying to help you understand the Word of God so it's not us speaking. And that when you go check it against the Word of God, hopefully it'll just be revealed to you and confirmed, yeah, what they were saying, that's from the Word of God. We're not making it up in our head. I hope that makes sense, friends. And again, you tuned in to Do Not Keep Silent.
Well, the second half of verse 10, last verse we're going to talk about tonight, shows the extent of what the Spirit can reveal to us. It says the Spirit can reveal to us all things, even the deep things of God. The Spirit is continually working in the lives of believers who are seeking God and His truth in the words of the Scriptures. Paul explains this further when he wrote in Ephesians 1:17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know Him better. So the main idea of this passage we've been looking at, 1 Corinthians 2:6 through 10, is the contrast between the wisdom of this age and its rulers and the wisdom that is revealed to us by God through the Holy Spirit. So that distinction was evident back then, and it is clearly evident in our culture today.
Absolutely. And before we get to this, friends, whatever you're doing that's distracting you from hearing us right now, I really recommend stop doing that and just pay attention to our voices. I'm not trying to, you know, go, oh, you got to listen to us or whatever. No. What Katie's about to reveal to you is something that when I heard this, friends, I had to be sitting down, because if I was not sitting down, I was about to fall over.
Yeah, it blew my mind too.
It's, friends, I don't want to be discouraging, but for me, it was a little discouraging. However, be encouraged, because Almighty God is still in charge. He's sovereign. So with what you're about to hear, friends, I encourage you. Don't get discouraged. Hear it. Speak to the Holy Spirit asking, okay, now what? What do I need to do? What to help this situation? What are you calling me to do? So, Katie, go ahead.
Well, there was a recent Barna survey that indicated that only 4% of Americans hold a truly biblical worldview. Only 4%. 4% of Americans hold a truly biblical worldview. 3 years ago, that number was only 6%. So not great then either, but still a pretty significant drop in just a few years. And that just shows us that the wisdom of this age is truly prominent in our society. So what can we do to promote the wisdom of God instead of the wisdom of this age? Well, first of all, we need to make sure that each one of us is truly seeking that biblical worldview. Unfortunately, there are many places that call themselves churches and leaders who call themselves Christians who pick and choose the pieces that they like of the biblical worldview rather than embracing the entire thing. Since we are sinful human beings, we know that Jesus is the only person to ever live that has a 100% true biblical worldview, but we can strive to get as close to that as possible. Then, while we are working toward that biblical worldview in our own lives, we need to share it with others, keeping in mind that we are encouraged to speak the truth in love. Focus on the gospel message of Jesus Christ and what that means to live it out in our own lives, and share that with others so they too can experience God's wisdom in the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely. Again, friends, you're tuned in to Do Not Keep Silent. Our parent ministry is called Worldview Warriors. You can find more about the ministry at worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. If you're going, worldview, what is that? What are you talking about? Well, we want to direct you to a blog post. Came out, well, I'd say close to 10 years ago now. But a post, very important post from Charlie Wolcott, Building a Biblical Worldview. We want to direct you to that. You can find it go to worldviewwarriors.org. That's worldviewwarriors.org. Click the blog tab. There's a search bar right there. Building a biblical worldview. You type that in. This should come up near the top, if not the top. Building a biblical worldview. I encourage you, take some time and go read that to understand what a biblical worldview truly is, so you can, well, hopefully be in the 4%, but maybe we can even grow that, Lord willing, from 4 to 5 to 6, hopefully up to 10% sometime down the road. In fact, that study, the results from that study, totally confirm what I personally believe, which is we've got to get back to the biblical foundation that our nation was founded upon. The way forward is back, friends. We have got to get back to biblical foundations, and if we don't, well, I will say I'm concerned. I can't make you, don't want to force you, because guess who's all about liberty? Not just me, but Almighty God, too. Go check out Galatians 5 for more on that. This is Do Not Keep Silent. You can find us online at donotkeepsilent.com. That's donotkeepsilent.com. Don't be a pushover. My guest tonight, Katie Erickson. Thanks for being with us, Katie.
It's always a good time.
Absolutely. Go find us online at worldviewwarriors.org. And you go out and make today great. We'll see you next time.
Be made new in Jesus Christ.
I will play your games. Just let me be.
Find us online
at donotkeepsilent.com.